Amen. How many are ready for a word from the Lord today? Yeah. Amen. Would you get out your Bibles, please? We're going to be coming from the book of Psalms to begin with. And we had an incredible time. I want to say thank you for all of those who stayed with us last week. We tried to have service, and it just cut loose. And we were here, we had chach, as they say. And we want to say hello to all of our friends live on the internet from around the world, in Africa, in Europe, in Germany, those in Swaziland, we say hello. We want to say hello to all of those around the U.S. And most importantly, I want to say hello to those of you that are here and tell you thank you for choosing Frontier as a place to worship this morning. Give yourselves a hand for what God's going to do in your life. Amen. Amen. I want to get us going, and I want to go to Psalms, please. Psalms, let's turn to the book of Psalms. Yeah, if you would hand me that, please. Thank you. I may need that. I'm going to go to the book of Psalms, and today, if you didn't get one, I'm wearing a pen, and this pen celebrates purity. How many know that no matter what you do, Jesus can forgive you of everything you've done wrong? Okay? Remember, most of us came to Christ with a whole bunch of sins. And then when we get forgiven and we get saved, we think he can't forgive the few we make a mistake in. But I want to encourage you that Christ is here to forgive us. And this pen represents purity. If you're here today and you haven't received one, would you raise your hand? I want our ushers to be able to give that out to you. Thank you so much. Thank you. If you would take my bag back, and you would, I don't know why you brought it up here. You know, just go ahead. Anyway, ushers, if you would help out, if raise your hand, we want to get you a pen because I want you to wear it this week, and I want you to wear it by saying, "Listen, God, my desire is to live purely for you." I thought about the man. We have baby blue and white, and if baby blue offends the men, wear the white one. Okay. But we want all of us to be able to wear the pen this week to remind ourselves that let me think with purity. Let me talk with purity. Let me walk with purity. Let my life change because I'm willing to pray with purity. You know what it means to pray with purity? It means that when you go into prayer, you're so honest with yourself that literally God can do something with your life. You know, the worst thing that could ever happen to us is in the moment of praying to the Lord, we're not honest and we kind of hide a side of ourselves from us, from God. How many know God sees everything anyway? You know, I mean, can I just give you a tip? Listen, if you mess up real bad, everybody say real bad. Real bad. If you mess up like real bad, just get up and say, "God, forgive me, and I'm moving on." Because most times we just pull back from God, and we kind of hide, and we kind of wait, but we still got to get back to him to get forgiveness. So just don't waste any time. Just make your mistake, get up, and keep going. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, I am not advocating just go out and sin. God forbid. We weren't given this grace for us to just keep using it as if we don't know no better. No, is that right English? Know any better. But this grace has been given to us that we may live holy. Now, many of us would think, "Man, I can't do that. That sounds like that old school church, you know, holiness, you know, where you got to wear a skirt down underneath your big toe. You can't, you know." You got to wear a hat that covers your entire face. No, he doesn't require holiness on the outside. He's looking for holiness on the inside. Because if you can do that, you'll know what to wear on the outside. Come on, somebody. Romans chapter 14 talks about how that the new way of living isn't trying to live right and get it all right. You, righteousness is not yours to own. It's been given to you. That means it is inherited by your confession in Christ. But so there's no way for you to perfect yourself. But the one way we should live is live in such a way where we don't create stumbling blocks for other people. How many know sometimes when we mess up and in our sin, we can cause somebody else to sin because of what we do? Amen? Oh, y'all ain't with me today, huh? Y'all gonna act like y'all don't see me. I see you. See, the way of the Christian mind, if you read Romans chapter 14, is listen, quit judging each other on where they're making their mistakes or how mature they are. All of us come to the table at different levels. We're all not here at the same level. And don't look at the church like, look what they did wrong. Because the church has to grow too. People look at me and think, oh, you got it together. So when I make a mistake, oh my God, it's like, man, the pastor got it wrong. Yeah, I did. Welcome to my world. You know what I'm saying? The only difference between me and you is that I've been given a responsibility to lead this congregation. But you got a responsibility to live out what God called you to do as well. He's not going to judge me on you or you on me. He's going to judge you on you. So let us love one another and let us not create stumbling blocks for one another by the way we live or what we do. I want to ask you a question. I want to go to Psalms 24, verses 3 through 6. And I got a slight ring, I think, in my mic. It's Psalms 24, verses 3 through 6. And I'll wait till it comes up on the screen. It's there? Thank you so much, sir. All right, it's not on my... All right, so Psalms 24, verse 3 and 6. Could you read it for me, please? All right, let's go back. I want you to read it again, and I want you to read it, and I want you to pay attention to the very words that it's saying. Let's go. Who?
Who may stand in His holy place?
Stop right there. Watch this. Who shall ascend to the mount of the Most High God? In the King James Version, he that has a pure heart and clean hands. See, the reality is that we all want to come before God, but what God is asking for is purity in our life. Because the world will try to pollute us. Listen, sometimes we're not even cognizant of the television that we're watching. Hello, somebody. Calling somebody. If Jesus were to sit next to you while you're watching television, how would you feel? I mean, the reality is we have to, listen, we may think that's silly, but listen, we need to live like that. Because He is right there. Don't you know that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Ghost dwells on the inside of you? So where you take Him, He will go. I'll be with you always. Not when you turn that channel on, I'm dipping. He's still there. Come on, somebody. When nobody sees you, He's still there. You don't want Him to leave. You don't want God to dip when you're in your sin. You want Him right there so He can bring you out of your stuff. Somebody say amen. Amen. The reality is that God is looking for purity out of our hearts. This is why I put the pen on over my heart, because I want to be pure. It means I want to be able to go home at night and I want to be able to pray without my conscience being convicted. You know, when you pray, the first thing he'll bring to mind is all about you. He won't talk about somebody else. Even if you try to pray about somebody else, he will bring up your life. Can we go to Isaiah chapter 6? And I want to go to verse 1. I want to show you something in the Word. Isaiah chapter 6, starting in verse 1. It's the concept of purity. The concept of purity. And how important this is going to be. Can you read what it says? Stop. In the year that King Uzziah died, that means there was a king whose name was Uzziah. And in the year that the king died, I want to ask you, what are the kings in your life? Because as long as there's a king that lords over your life, an idol that lords over your life, you won't be able to see God like you need to see God. In the year that King Uzziah died. In other words, it was the year that King Uzziah, the king in his life, the one who took authority over him, when that thing that used to bother him was gone. And if you know anything about King Uzziah, he was disobedient and rebellious. He served the Lord in the beginning, but in the end, he got arrogant and told the priest, I can go in and do what you do. They're like, don't do that. No, I've been walking before the Lord. I know how to handle this. And how many times do we enter into a place we think we can come out of? But King Uzziah went in, and when he tried to do what only the holy men could do, when he touched the holy items, the Bible says that leprosy came upon him. And no holy man could now help him. Why? Because the holy men had warned him and he had offended God. Listen, there needs to be a holy reverence before God that you don't just come before him and say anything, do anything. Listen, he is the God of the universe. He made presidents and kings. He made the stars, the moon, and the universe. He caused gravity to be. And yet we come before him and give him our worst. You can't come into a holy place and give God unholiness. You've got to say to yourself, God, I recognize I ain't living right. Just be real. Hello, somebody. Just be realzy. That's my word, realzy. That is being so transparent with your heart. Who shall ascend to the mount of the Most High God? He that has a pure heart and what? Clean hands. That what's in your heart and what you do with your hands is purity. So the reality is this, ladies and gentlemen, God is looking for purity. He's looking for you to be honest. When was the last time you stopped and went home and said, God, I just need to spend a little time with you and talk with you. I need to get this off my chest. I need to confess my faults. I need to say, God, I made a mistake. And God, I need you to make my heart tender again. Do you know what happens when our heart gets hard? All of a sudden, we don't recognize holiness anymore. Uzziah's heart got hard with pride. And he went in. And he touched the holy things. And the Bible says he was filled with leprosy. And yet there was a man who wanted God with all his heart. Juxtaposition to Uzziah. Uzziah was a king in the earth. But Isaiah was a prophet unto the Most High God. One had popularity. The other one had position with God. One had authority with men. The other had authority with God. One was looking to promote himself. The other was looking to promote the Lord. And the Bible says in the year, put it back on the screen, that King Uzziah died. This is Isaiah speaking. What does he say?
I saw the Lord sitting on a long throne, and there
stop right there. He was sitting, he says, in the year that the kings of my life died, the rebellious things in my life died, the things I just ignored and let be, the things I can't, I know are wrong, but I finally woke up and said, I can't acknowledge, I can't just ignore this anymore. No, it's not right to gossip. No, it's not right to be in bed with a woman I'm not married to. No, it's not right to live in like this. It's not right to steal or to let my body be ravaged with drugs. It's not right. God, I wake up, and the moment you can confess and be real with Jesus, you will look up and see the Lord. Woo! Do you understand what that means? To be able to see him is clarity. It is the ability to make decisions because your eyes are clear. Come on, church. Somebody wants this. Somebody got to desire this and say, Lord, I'm not going to church to play church. I'm not wanting to sit in the pew every Sunday because you know what? Your Christian walk isn't about a Sunday service. Uh-oh. It's about your everyday. And here's what he did. He looked up and saw the Lord. The Bible says in the King James, he was high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. You got to understand, a king's train is the thing that goes around his shoulders and it flows out from him. And you got to understand in old time Israel, how a king's train grew. It was because every time a king destroyed another king, he sowed that king's train into his. And the Bible says, when I saw the Lord, I saw him high and lifted up. And guess what? His train filled the temple. That's a bad king. He is called the King of Kings. Watch this. Read on. Let's read on in the verse, please. Go. And the king, sitting on his lofty throne, read. Read on.
They were calling out to each other, Holy, 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 is the Lord of the heavens and armies.
Do you see what he said? Stop. It said, holy, holy, holy. They were calling to one another. Did you hear that? In order to stay in holiness, somebody got to call out to your holiness. We can't ignore it. We got to talk to one another. Find somebody and cry out, holy, holy, holy. Look at somebody and say, holy, holy. Come on. Come on. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy. Good God Almighty. Holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy. Get him with the Satan. Holy, holy, holy. Echo me back. Talk to me. Holy, holy. Jesus. I need somebody telling me, don't be like Uzziah. Don't die in your sins. Be holy, holy. We got to call and talk to one another. You can't live this life by yourself. You need somebody in your corner going, holy, holy, holiness, holiness, holiness. We need each other. You need a church that ain't gonna lie to you. Come on, somebody. This ain't your mama church just because we use the word holy. God was holy when your mama was alive too. Listen, holiness means that you are sanctified. You are set aside for the work of God. You are sanctified. You are set aside for the work of God. Holy. The angels in heaven were boasting of the fact they was holy, 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 bro, holy. Who can you call out among your friends? Holy, holy. I want to challenge you because it matters who's around you. You can't, the Bible says, the Bible is very clear where it says that we, the multitude of witnesses we have in Hebrews tells us we should be living in holiness. But it says evil communications corrupt good manners. Listen, what does that mean? Something is always communicating to you. What do you listen to? What do you watch? What do you say? Because whatever it is going to communicate a message. You're going to get taught one way or another. You're going to hear somebody telling you how to respond one way or another. The question then becomes, the Bible makes it clear, evil communications will corrupt your good manners. Man, if you ever went away to college, man, I remember you can grow up in church all your days and you get on that college campus, woo! You like, If mama saw me now, mama probably does see you right up. The Lord showed me you in a club. That's what it, Hey, that's what I pray for. I say, show me where my children are. Come on, parents. We need to be asking God, open up my eyes. I want to see where my kids are so I can prevent them from going into something they ain't supposed to go into. I want them right at the door and they phoning, get back in the car and go home. That's holiness. Holy, holy. That's, see, when I talked to my kids, the other night I went in my home, went up in my in my kids' room, and I said, hey, when was the last time y'all cried out to God? When was the last time you prayed and you just let it go? I said, son, you got to pray. I went to my daughter, when's the last time? I said, baby, you got to call on him. You can't worship without worshiping him at home. You need it here. I can't preach if I'm not at home talking to my father. It's either holiness or hell. Because you can learn to live with your sin and you will go like Isaiah did into a holy place and get struck. He is to be feared. People say, no, God's supposed to be loving. He is loving. He's loving enough to tell you something. When he say don't do it, if your natural mama and daddy will spank you, your supernatural father got a hand out of this world. Y'all think I'm playing? There's a story in the Bible of a man named Uzzah. Everybody say Uzzah. We dealing with a whole lot of Uzzahs today, aren't we? His Uzzah was walking behind the Ark of the Covenant. David was bringing it into the holy city. He was so excited because it was stolen by the Philistines and enemy army, and he got it back, and he's dancing there, playing him, woo, ah, yeah, oh, yeah, and everybody's walking and dancing and playing, and he's walking, the Ark of the Covenant is on top of this cart, and the donkey, is, or the oxen is pulling it, and he's going along, and everybody's dancing, woo, 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 right? And then one of the wheels goes off, and the ark begins to fall. And Uzzah in his good intentions, whoa, grabbed the bottom of the ark to keep it from falling, and he dropped dead on the spot. What? That ain't right. When I read that, I said, that don't even seem right. He was trying to help. He was trying to keep the ark from touching the ground. He was trying to keep the holy thing holy. But you make a mistake. God don't need nobody to keep him holy. You made an assumption that the ark was going to fall. Y'all just missed that. You made an assumption that God can't uphold his own holiness. In your fleshly eyes, it's got to fall. God, that wheel could have rolled on to eternity, and that ark would have kept on that back of that trailer and kept on going, because God can uphold his own holiness. He don't need nobody to do that. But he did tell Uzzah, don't touch it. Nobody touches the ark unless you're a man of God. He knew that, and Uzzah didn't do what God told him. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying to you is this. If nobody's going to tell you, I have to tell you. Because if you don't hear it now, you're going to be before God. He's going to say, did anybody tell you this? And y'all ain't going to look back at me. I'm going to slide right by you into the pearly gate. Excuse me. No, sir. Bishop Yates. No. My name is Bubba. Bubba's my name. Bubba. Bishop Bubba. Yeah. You got to know the truth. The truth makes you free. I am imploring you as a people of God that you can have every gift, power in the world from the Holy Ghost. But it starts with purity. That your conscience is clear. What is still on your mind that bothers you? Because you haven't confessed it to the Lord. What today can you let go by ascending to the hill of the Most High God? Let me tell you what happens when we don't. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews. Chapter 6, verse 9 through 12. And this is the Apostle Paul. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And it says this, dear friends, even though we are talking this way, we really don't believe it applies to you. Paul was talking about the mistakes of unholiness. See, we're confident that you are meant for better things, things that come with salvation. Because there are some things that come with being saved. Help, strength, miracles, signs, wonders. He says, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by what? Caring. For who? First of all, I want you to look around and say to somebody, holy, holy, holy. That's how you can care for another believer. You encourage them in the Lord. You love on them. You meet them where they are and you help them. Hey, how's your study coming? How's your walk with the Lord? Are you okay? Can I pray for you for anything? And don't say, I'll pray about it. Pray then. Right then. If they call your phone, man, I'm going through something. Hold on. Let's pray right now and knock it out. That's how you care for one another. Watch what it goes on and says. It says this. Let's read on. Caring for other believers, as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts in order, watch this, to make certain that what you hope for will come true. What do you think he's talking about when he says what you hope for? He's talking about eternal life. He says you got to keep on loving. You can't stop halfway through your life because somebody hurt you, because you're mad at somebody. You stop loving. You ain't going to make it. That whole thing of once saved, always saved? No, sir. I don't know who told you that. The Bible says nobody could take somebody out of his hand. You're absolutely right. But somebody can sure enough walk out of his hand. Nobody can take you, but they can sure enough dip. I know a lot of believers in here, and y'all want proof? How many times have the people in here backslid? Don't raise your hand. I love honesty. We all have. We all have made mistakes. We've all had to come back to God, right? We all had to say, God, I'm sorry. I'm coming back home. So there's a way to go away if we want to. But listen to this. He says, listen, I want you to keep loving people so that you could obtain the hope you have and that it will come true. And then watch this. This is what happens when our hearts get hard. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. This is why people don't like church. It isn't the worship. It isn't the bad preaching. It isn't the bad donuts in the foyer. When you become spiritually dull and indifferent, you don't care about when people are hurting around you. You really don't get excited when people start. Matter of fact, if people start talking about the Bible, it irritates you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Can we all just be real? I know it's happened to me. And then we start the blame game on everybody else. It's because when you stop loving other people, you become spiritually dull. You can't hear God like you need to. And you become indifferent. So there may be needs all around you, and you'll just keep on walking. I'll never forget when I was driving in my car, and I was at a grocery store, and I saw this little kid run out of the grocery store. And he was running so fast, Mama said, stop! And the little kid tripped over his shoes. Bam! Face first, right there in the parking lot. I bust out laughing. I'm just being real. It was, at that moment, it was hilarious. Woo! And then the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, when did you become so indifferent to pain? That little boy was crying, and you didn't even care. In that moment, I knew I was too far away from God. And sometimes you don't know how far you're away from God till you go back. Hello, somebody. You won't know how hard your heart is until you get back in his presence. This is why we're asking you to consider purity. Because you may think you're on top of the world, baby, and you may be on the bottom of the heap. And I know you may say, that's a rough message. It's rough, but it's right. Man, what if we all caught on fire again like the first time we got saved? Do you understand? When there was a time when nothing kept you from church, where prayer was good to you, the word was good to you, and the Bible says you got to get back there. It didn't say, well, you mature through that, or when you get older, you get more mature. No, the devil is a liar. When I got saved, people said, you get saved for a couple years, it'll wear off. And I was like, for real? Yeah, look at all them people. I'm like, man, God, I don't want it to wear off. And then I started running to people where it didn't wear off. because they kept going up that hill in confession, kept going up that hill to see God, kept going up that hill in prayer. And they come back down and the heart's pure and the hands are clean and their hands can go up. Lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. That's what the Bible says. And they're able to do it. So I want to encourage you, church. Being Frontier Church isn't just about being a church. It's about sanctifying more and more of your life to God. That's what sanctification is. It means holiness, setting more and more of your will aside for His. You may not be where somebody else is right now, but you can get there if you do the same things they do. I want to encourage you, church. Over the next week, we're talking about the book of Daniel, and we're reading through it. But the series that we're talking about is purity. What a way to begin the first of the year. Going back to God. Not playing church, being the church. I want you to take a moment and bow your heads. God, I want you to look on everyone under the sound of my voice. There are people in this room whose hearts have grown cold. Some of them think they're on top of the world, but they haven't talked to you in so long. Some don't even know what it's like to be free from the burdens of their own sins. But I declare the truth that you are faithful and just to cleanse us of all of our sins if we confess our faults. Then that faithfulness that you have will cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. Doesn't matter our age. Doesn't matter our background. What matters is right now. God, I want to be right. And those who have their heads bowed, give us a tender heart again, God, where sin doesn't come easy. It hurts. But let us love easy. Let us love one another. Let us encourage one another to do better, to be stronger, to pray for one another. For you're coming back, and we want to be ready for you. So as we kick off this year and we move into purity, may it start at home. May our study take us back to you. And God, we know what it was like the day we met you. Nobody got to tell us. Get us back to the part where we can cry again, because we haven't cried in a long time. Get us back to the place where we get happy about your word, so that, Lord, we can have the joy we once had. I bless the church under the sound of my voice. Every young person, I speak to you. You don't have to wait till you get older to be on fire for God. You can do it right now. You can have Him in your heart, and you can burn with passion to live for Him. Don't let your outside surroundings dictate for you who you are. Today, hear our prayer, oh God, as a church, and bring us back to holiness. Bring us back to your feet, that we may see you high and lifted up and your train filling our temple. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.